Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. Good to have Nathan Wright with us, and good to have Sister Susan here. We had a kind of an impromptu praise service last week, thanking the Lord for some of the testimonies. Many of, in fact, 95% of them I had not heard. I've heard some smatterings of some of them, but I think it's good to thank the Lord, to acknowledge what He's done, what He's doing, and then to see, Lord, you know, not only what you did with the drama, but for so many. And Sister Susan, I know my wife, I think, recounted the story of how the Lord used one situation to reveal another, and that was true with Sister Susan Nienover as well as with Sister Sandy Logan. And so the Lord is still on the throne, and He's still able to, you know, all things work together for good. And so we heard a good report from Sister Denise. We're praying the Lord will continue to strengthen her. But let's pray right now. Lord, bless this offering. Bless every gift, giver. We'll be quick to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We are glad, as I mentioned, that for all of you that are here, and I know their family life is meeting, and there are people meeting in various parts of the church, the young people. We had asked them last week, just sort of right before church, to come in, and because we were going to try to have a few praises. And so, you know, they're scattered around the building, but I'm thankful for all of the classes, and I'm thankful for all the things that we have been, you know, busy and doing. And I know May is Mother's Day and Memorial Day, and a lot of opportunities. We're hoping in June to have a few Wednesday nights where we meet in various places, whether it's out and about and trying to have some fellowship times and opportunities, because I know we have a lot of camps in June and the first part of July, and so we're going to take some moments to have fellowship on some of the Wednesdays. But we appreciate all of you being in the house of the Lord. I started a lesson I didn't finish this last week. I started it 2 weeks ago on in the Word of the Lord about the first of Jesus and getting in alignment with Jesus. Lining up to Jesus and a study of his first. And I know Sunday I spoke on he is the vine, we are the branches, and I realize that that is in one sense getting in alignment with him. And the reason the word first was because of when you look at the Ten Commandments, you know, they are placed there, and as you study them, there are the first four commandments were about getting in alignment with God. And then the fifth commandment was aligning with your past and your family and honoring your parents. And then the next four commandments were about aligning with other people. You know, how you treat other people. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't bear false witness, all of those kinds of things. And then the last of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet, was about getting my inside lined up. And of course, there are a lot of books that have been written about, you know, first things first. And I know they will talk about the importance of doing first things and in the morning. And for those of you who have, you know, children in school, the teacher will tell you that the first few hours of the day are usually the most productive. They're able to get the kids really working, and then as the day wears on, they start getting distracted, and then after lunch, you gotta really keep them moving to keep them awake. And you probably found that about work. You know, if you come in, and a lot of people I know like to get up early and they like to get stuff moving first and doing when their mind is fresh and they're rested and doing things first to align the day. And I know, you know, if you allow the second things to become the first things, a lot of times you will mess up both the second things and the first things. And so I talked about that, and I talked about that very sense of finding not what only is lawful, but what is also, lawful and in one sense good, because there are things that are lawful that are not necessarily good for me. There are things that are lawful that can be, in one sense, evil. And we've seen that even within our own nation, where people will use the law to do things, whether it's, you know, the freedom of speech or something along those lines, and they will do something inappropriate, and then they have to make a new law. You know, it used to be, okay, well, freedom of speech, and so yet if you stand up in a crowded theater or in a crowded place and yell, fire, 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 well, you can be charged with trying to start a riot or starting a, because they had to make, they realize that even something lawful can be evil. You understand what I'm saying? People can use it for the wrong motives. And so lawful or neutral or chaotic, and we talked about some of that 2 weeks ago. As a matter of fact, our first thing to get in line was found in Matthew, the 6th chapter, where Jesus said, he says, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so we talked about getting our priorities straight and getting in line. And it is not, I know our money says in God we trust, but most of the time we trust in our money and we trust in, I gotta have enough money, I've gotta have. And yet the Lord said, and not you read it carefully, he wasn't talking about being foolish with your money. He wasn't talking about being, you know, well, it doesn't matter how I spend because God's going to take care of me. Well, he's not talking about doing it inappropriate, but if you are lining up with him, that's why even tithing in the Old Testament was called first fruits. It was giving God first. And I know sometimes people will say, well, I see how many bills I've got and what I've paid. Well, that's really not the way God wanted it done. And we're not taking another offering, so don't panic. I'm not doing that for that. I'm just saying it. That's what it was called in the Old Testament, first fruits. It was an offering of giving it first to God. And you'll be surprised when you honor God, he is able to make the 90% go a lot further. And I've tried it. I do it. I was taught it as a child, and I know you can say, well, I don't see how it works. It doesn't seem natural to me. It doesn't seem reasonable to me. I don't know either, but I know if you line up with God first, seek ye first the kingdom, it's amazing how everything else falls into line. And the next thing we talked about 2 weeks ago was our attitude. And when we read in Matthew, the 7th chapter, in the 5th verse, where it says, first cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you could see what's going on with your brother. You know, it's hard, but when you start looking around at everybody else, and well, they did this, and they did that, and they did this, and this one's wrong, and that one did wrong, and that one's done, before long, you become negative. You can find fault with everything and everyone. You can find fault. And you say, well, that part of that is the trick of the enemy to try to stop you from having a word of faith, from having an attitude that I can do all things through Christ. You know, you have to believe. You have to have, if you're going to change, you have to believe that you can change. If you're going to, no matter what it is, if you walk into something and you go, oh, I know, it's not going to matter much. I'll do what I, but this is not going to do anything. I can just tell you, well, your attitude, you're never going to be able to do it. If you say, but if you say, Lord, give me strength, I'm going to believe, I'm going to do my best. I know, I'm not, again, talking about, stepping out in front of a bus and saying, I can stop that bus with just a flick of my wrist. That's being foolish. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about letting the Lord align my attitude, because it is so easy to quickly look at everybody else's fault and never see myself. And that's why it becomes important. And I mentioned even 2 weeks ago about even correcting your children. And I know when mine were little, I got into a habit of writing out whenever I'd get frustrated, because I'd write out, I want them to do this and I want them to do that. And then I would look at the page and I would have about, almost all the page with all the things I wanted them to change, and I wouldn't have anything positive. And so I'd have to say, okay, well, I got to rewrite that. I'd rip that one out and I would narrow it down until finally I had more good things that they were doing than all the bad. I want to thank you for whatever it was. I want to thank you. And you say, well, I my dad didn't do that for me or my mom. I know. But the idea is that we're trying to keep the spirit of the Lord. We're trying to align ourselves with the Lord, what the Lord wanted us to do. And he said that, how we should have and treat and get our attitude straight. And the next thing was aligning our relationships. I talked about that just a few weeks ago 2 weeks ago, and I was talking about getting my relationships in line with the Lord, and that's so important. I know it is easy to kind of begin to feel like, you know, it doesn't matter. I can be an island. I don't need the body. I don't need anybody. I can do what I want. And you know, it's amazing. And the Bible's full of stories on if your brother has aught and how to go. And that's what Matthew, the 5th chapter, said. If you are going to bring an offering to the altar and you realize that your brother has aught, leave your gift and go your way and be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy adversary quickly. What was he saying? That your relationships are important. I've seen people that have carried a grudge against a man, a woman, a church, somebody did them wrong. I'm not going to ever, they've done me wrong, I can tell you. And they may really have done it. I don't disagree. And it, you know, if it's me, I'm guilty. I probably did it, didn't know. But they're not gonna make it right. Maybe people don't even know. Well, I'm not saying anything, but they know what they did. You ever heard anybody say that? Oh yeah. And now what's so sad is that unfortunately they'll talk to 4 or 5 other people. Huh? Then maybe finally it drifts around and gets to somebody. And then you're like, okay, now what? Now I know they've got aught. I'm going to have to go deal with it. I'm going to have to go find them. I didn't say nothing. And then they won't own it. And I've been there. I've done that. But there's a word that was used in the New Testament about fellowship. And it's the Greek word, and it means fellowship. It was, used 20 times in the New Testament. In fact, right after the day of Pentecost, it says they continued in house to house, breaking bread and in fellowship. And so it's important to be able to have fellowship. And you say, well, but I don't like them, and they're not nice, and they're mean. And yet, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. In that sense of, I realize that, you know, you say, well, why is that so important? Because the Bible is very clear. There's strength that comes from being connected to a body. You heard some of the testimonies last night. Last week, and you heard some of the praises and the fact that people had been praying and people came together and they tried to find something they could do to encourage people and witness to people and the impact that it had on different lives. And when you say all these things, you know, you say, well, I could do that all by myself. I could have had all of those individuals come, and they'd have just gotten to know me. If I'd have had coffee with them, it would have been, well, that's fellowship. Wait a minute. Don't go crazy here, you know? But it's finding a place to say, Lord, that's important, and it's an important part of getting in line, alignment with you. Now, that was 2 weeks ago. So we'll keep going. Alignment with Jesus, authority. That's an important one, getting the authority in line. Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus said it like this. Therefore, if you bring the gift to the, I'm reading the wrong one. Or else how, the 12th chapter, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he do what? First, bind the strong man. You cannot have victory until you first bind the strong man. Then he can spoil the house. He says, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So aligning with the authority of the Lord. And Jesus was a perfect example of all of this. I could read you numerous scriptures where he says, It's not me that's doing it. The Father in me is doing it. It's not me that's doing it. It's not me. I'm aligned. Whatsoever he saith, those words I speak unto you. Well, what are you talking about? Is getting in alignment with the authority of the Lord. And part of that involves forgiving people. In fact, Paul wrote in Corinthians, in whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything to whom I forgave it, and for your sakes forgive it, I in the person of Christ. Whoa. You're saying that, you know, I'm saying you've got to be able, you know, you can have boundaries. You can say you've crossed boundaries. I can't. I'm not talking about you. You can be being violated, but you've got to get your heart clean. You've got to get it out of your spirit, because if you don't, Satan can get an advantage, because we are not ignorant of his devices. That's why it bothers me. I don't, you know, I understand. I'm okay with the person saying, hey, I've got to protect myself. I've got to protect my home. I get all of that. I'm not saying, you know, I've counseled with people, and I've had parents that had children have been wayward and doing things. And I've said, you know, you're going to have to set boundaries, and you're going to have to not let them live with you. They're stealing from you. They're bringing people into your home. You're going to have to put up a boundary and say, I'm sorry, you can't be here. I'm not saying not to have boundaries, but what I'm saying is you cannot let it get in your spirit, because if you're not careful, the enemy will use that to get an advantage over us. That's why Paul told Timothy in the last book that he wrote, 2 Timothy, the second chapter, he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And I know, I've had people tell me, well, Pastor, why don't you tell them? Why don't you get them? Why don't you jump on them? And I probably, you know, may violate, may not jump when I should, but at the same time, I realize that I have to be gentle. Why? Because I'm asking God to give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I know there are times whenever I am sorely tempted to blast somebody out of the water. I'm going to give you a great piece of mind. I'm going to let them have it. I want... But you know what? I got to be careful of the moat, the beam. I got to say, oh, Lord, bless, touch, strengthen. What are you doing? I don't want the enemy to use me to be the thing that somebody later says, well, you know how he treated me? You know what they said to me? I know people can do that, but you know what? And you can't stop all of it. I get all of that. People will lie and they'll say things that are not true. I get all of that. But that's why you have to keep your spirit right. You have to align with his authority. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The devil would like to destroy all of us. No matter whether he can jerk you one way or jerk you another, it is to get you out of line with the authority of the Lord. That's why Paul told the church in Ephesians, be angry and do what? Don't sin. Why? Don't give your place. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And don't give your place to the devil. Because the devil would like to destroy all of us. And he can sow a seed in our heart and in our mind. And Proverbs, Old Testament, said, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. He will be holden with the cords of his sins." What are you saying? You know what? I don't have to destroy somebody. If they're doing wrong, guess what? The Bible says their sin will... it bubbles to the surface. And you say, "Well, I don't want to be the one." I understand. And that's when you align. You say, "Lord, it's your authority." In John, the 5th chapter, the Jews sought more to kill him because he had not only had broken the Sabbath, they looked at Jesus as someone who broke the Sabbath. And so they sought to kill him. But not only did he do that, but he said God was his Father, which made him equal to God. And you know how Jesus answered? "Truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For these things whatsoever, soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise." And that made him so mad, because he was aligning with the authority of God. When you try to do your best to be godly, the Bible talks about a soft answer. What are you doing? "Oh, I want to give them a piece of my mind." They don't deserve a soft answer. "You don't understand, Pastor, what they did. You don't understand how they..." I got it. I'm not telling you this is easy to get in alignment. But that's what we're supposed to do, right? Align ourselves with him. We sing the song, "To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus." Oh, hallelujah. If the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. Why did I put that verse in there? Because sometimes people, you know, they go, "I just can't stop this. I can't break this habit. I can't stop." Well, you've got to align yourself with his authority. You got to get up every day and say, "Lord, I need your help today. I need your presence today. I want you to help me do what's right. I want you to keep me in check. I want you to put up guard around my eyes, my ears, my actions." But you say, "Well, I haven't prayed. I haven't asked the Lord. I haven't talked to him. I can whip it. I'll just grab it. I have my own willpower." I'm going to tell you, you're going to be sadly mistaken. You don't have the strength to do it on your own. That's why you need the authority of God in your life. That's why you have to humble yourself under his mighty hand. And so if you're facing something that, you know, you're really trying to get the victory over, get in alignment with his authority every morning, every day. Align yourself with his authority. You say, "Well, that's bigger than I am." No, it's not. It's not bigger than the Holy Ghost. But what happens is we try to think, "I could do it." And the only thing we can do, we can read it, "I can do all things by myself. I've got the strength." No. What does he say? "I can do all things through..." If I align myself with him, say, "Lord, I need your power today. Lord, I need your help today. Lord, I need..." You know, you may know, "I'm fixing to go to the lion's den. Lord, you're able to help shut the mouth of the lions. I'm going to see Cousin Boudreaux. You know how he talks. You know how he acts." But get in alignment with his authority. You see what I'm saying? James said it like this: "He giveth more grace." Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? "Wherefore he saith, When you think you can do it by yourself, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So what should you do? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Then you resist the devil, and he will flee. If you draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to you. Then you cleanse your hands, you purify your hearts, you are afflicted, you mourn, you weep, you let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness, you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and guess what the Lord will do? Lift you up. The reason people never feel that strength from the Lord and that lifting is that they don't get in alignment with his authority. Oh, Lord, I want to align myself with him. I want his authority in my life. And the last verse, although there was, I could read numerous ones, but Proverbs 3:33 says, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. He scorns the scorners, but gives grace unto the lowly." You want to live in a house that's blessed, or you want to live in a house that's cursed? It depends on how you align yourself with the authority of God. And so that was so important. That's why the Lord said, you know, first, here's what you need to do. You somehow find a way to get in alignment with the authority. He says, bind the strong man, and then you were able to spoil his house. But whenever, you know, you say, I just let it go. I couldn't help myself. I just let it go. Well, that spirit you let go probably didn't want to be subject to the presence of God. Well, I just told them. I gave them a piece of my mind. I let them know. Well, now you got less mind. You gave part of it away. You used to always tell me that if you throw dirt, you're losing ground. Anybody ever heard that one before? A few of you, you know. So the next thing to line up is your passion, your love. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, and they gathered together. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus talked about their passion, their love. What do you love? Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first and great commandment. The second is like this: love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hang all the law and prophets. What he was basically saying was what the Ten Commandments said, because the first four commandments were about loving God and respecting God and not taking the Lord's name in vain, and all those things, those first four are about God, and then loving your neighbor as yourself from number 6, 7, 8, 9, those four commandments are all about loving your neighbor. And then loving yourself, loving your past, commandment number 5, you're honoring your father and mother, commandment number 10, not coveting. That means putting that on yourself. And so the Lord was encapsulating all 10 commandments. And that was what they understood from the Old Testament, because in Deuteronomy, its 6th chapter, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might." And yet, what did Jesus say? If you love me, how are you going to respond? Keep my commandments. You know, if you hard to say I love God and then I don't do what God says. You know, and I know people that will say, well, you know, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, but I don't think God means that. Well, John told him in 1 John, the 4th chapter, he that loveth not doesn't know God. Knoweth not God. For God is love. He's passion. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son. You can read all of those verses, and then it said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. So in other words, the love doesn't start with me. I know, you know, I can say, well, I love cream of wheat, or I love toast, or I love Diet Coke, or I love my dog, my cat, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. I love, I love, I love. But when it comes to God, he first loved me. All I'm doing is responding to his love. And so, you know, when a person says, you know, first it's amazing is to get full of his love. That's aligning with his love first. Aligning with his love. And I one of the things that I often say in a marriage ceremony, you know, with God you can have everything. Without him, you know, you can have nothing. Why? Because he is the source of love. And so that's why you have to keep the first thing important, loving God, feeling his love, absorbing his love. God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And beloved, if God so loved us, notice what that verse 11 says, then what should we do? Love one another. You go, yeah, but they're not lovable, Pastor. Well, guess what? You weren't either when God loved you. You got a lot of wonderful love. So you ought to love one another. Oh, hallelujah. Getting in alignment with the Lord. Not easy, is it? When Paul told the church in Rome, he said, let your love be without dissimulation. In other words, you know, this is not, you know, it's not supposed to be manipulation. It's not supposed to be with strings attached. Well, I'll love you if you'll come do us. It's supposed to flow freely. If you'll be sweet, I'll invite you over to my house. If you'll invite me to yours, I'll do that. You're just supposed to let your love flow. Oh, it's not easy. Then he goes on, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And then he gets even more specific. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. All of that can't be done unless you stay full of the love of God. That's why when you read through, and I didn't put it on your, I didn't talk about it tonight because there's so much other, but Paul spent a whole chapter in Corinthians, what we call 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, about charity. Charity suffereth long, is kind, is all the, We read it at weddings and we think, oh yeah, that's true, but it ain't gonna do it. Huh? And, isn't that sweet? Thinks no evil, believes no evil, blah, 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 blah. It's not blah, blah, blah. Paul didn't write this and say, now here's a great passage to read when you marry somebody. It applies to us. We're supposed to love like that. Exodus 35. The Bible says that in the all the way in the Old Testament, everyone whose heart stirred him up, everyone whose spirit was willing, brought the Lord's offering. That's why we talk about God loving a cheerful giver. You know, your passion should be, I want to give the house of the Lord. I want it to be blessed. Women whose heart, it ought to come from a passion. Oh, pastor wants me to invite somebody to work. Oh, pastor, I mean, you know. If I had a bowl of goldfish up here and I took one out, took a net and laid one on the pulpit, it wouldn't be long before some of you would start panicking. Pastor, get him back in the water. He's gonna die. There'd be people that would be going, excuse me, Pastor, don't keep preaching. Put the fish back in the tank in the little water. Huh? And yet, we can work with people, be around people, neighbors, and they're dying. And we have no passion to pray for them, invite them. But we can be moved by seeing a little goldfish. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can be moved by seeing a stray dog and an animal and hurting. And we don't, oh, Lord, well, I don't want, and I don't like to see them. You know, they get me every time. You know, little dogs chained up with big logging chains. And, man, I want to go help them. Where are those dogs? Why did you film them and just leave them there, you goofballs? I want to find out who was running that camera. That's nuts. You saw a dog like that, just left it there. We're moved by those things. But Lord, help us to get it in our, Lord, I want to invite, I want to encourage somebody. I want to be a witness to somebody. What happened with the Laodicean church was they were lukewarm. They weren't cold and they weren't hot. And I think we probably have a nation that almost fits that bill. Psalms, he says, if your riches increase, don't set your heart on them. It's not wrong or evil to have money, but if that becomes your God, it'll destroy you. A stubborn, rebellious generation that wouldn't set their heart aright, in whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Romans says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. If you go back into Psalms, and there's numerous ones there in Psalms, the 84th chapter, where it said, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Wow. Lord, get my heart right. And Psalms 119, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Great peace have they which keep the law. Is that what it said? Great peace have they which what? Love the law. And nothing. Wow. Well, that makes me mad. I don't like what that. He said, great peace if you fall in love with the word, fall in love with what God wants, who also declared unto us our love in the spirit. Proverbs, a man that is cannot rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. David prayed, create in me what? A clean heart, O God, and renew a what? Right spirit. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for yet I shall praise him. David prayed in Psalms 26, examine me, try my reins and my heart. See if there's anything in me. Numerous places where it talks about the heart. Like I said, I didn't even get into Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and I know there's a lot there, but notice, I think we just have a couple more. I know my time is swiftly passing, but the inside, the mind, Matthew, the 23rd chapter says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, that you clean the outside, but inside is all filth. Outwardly you appear righteous, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And don't you hate it when somebody is not genuine? They say one thing and they inside or something else, and they're doing something, thinking something, and acting some way. It's like the Bible describes it as a double-minded person. They're unstable. That's why Psalms 51 says, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part. Make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. When you go back to the very beginning, the time of Noah, the Lord said that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. I want to tell you something. We're almost there. My dad, I took my mother to therapy today, and we were driving and across the railroad tracks, and my dad said, do you remember when you were little riding the train? And I said, absolutely. They would put me on a train in St. Louis, Missouri, and by myself, I don't know, I was 5, 6, 7, maybe 8. Couldn't have been more than that because we moved at 9. I was 9. I moved to Arkansas, but 6, 7, 8 years old, put me on a train, and it was called the City of New Orleans. I would ride that train all the way down to, would get off at, I think it was Hammond, which was a stop before Baton Rouge. My grandparents would meet me there, and I rode it by myself. My dad said, my Lord, I wouldn't even let Siobhan ride a train by herself today. I said, well, I know. I said, I can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe I did it. I can't, how wicked the world has become. It's not much different than the days of Noah. And their hearts continually. I just can't imagine. 7 years, even if I was 8. And then what would happen was my mom would ride the train down at the end of summer and come get me and take me back home. I'd spend a month or 2 months with my grandparents in Louisiana and rode the train by myself. Wow, you say, well, we wouldn't do that. I couldn't imagine to do that. I mean, they have a special whole protocol, and I've seen them. I've gotten on flights, and the stewardess comes, and she's got a name tag, and she's got, you know, she's got to make sure this child gets on and then gets off. And I would be hesitant to even do that at this hour. What are you saying? Well, you know, the inside, our world. I remember when I was... when my girls, when we were living in Arkansas 20 years ago, Mike and Sheena was going to college, and I told her, I said, you know, Sheena, here, you know, if those were in the days before cell phones. I said, if you break down, stay in your car until a trucker stops. And, you know, if a trucker, they were the knights of the road, you know, you could... when Caitlin got ready to go to school, we were here, and I said, Caitlin, you got to have a phone, and don't let anybody. You drive on a busted rim. You go to a place that's well lit. Don't trust a trucker or anybody. Just in a matter of a few years, world changes. It says that the Lord repented that he had made the man and it grieved him in his heart. Why? Because there's so much evil out there. And that the last one, and you could find others, but these first, is alignment with Jesus and the body. Aligning with the body of Christ. Aligning with the church. I know. You say, well, this church is not perfect. And Pastor, you're not perfect. I agree with you. God bless you. And, you know, keep looking. When you find the perfect church, don't go, because you'll mess it up. Stay home. And when you find it, please don't go there. You'll blow it for them. There's no church perfect. No group of people perfect. No, oh, they didn't do this. They didn't shake my hand. But yet Jesus, in John the 20th chapter, that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of Jews, Jesus came. He chose the first day. That's why we meet on the first day. I know it's not the Sabbath. Sabbath is Saturday. But we meet on Sunday. Why? Because Jesus showed up on the first day saying, peace be unto you. And when you read in Acts that on the first day of the week, the disciples came together and they were together to break bread, and they kept going and they continued until midnight. And, you know, I realize, you know, I'm over time now, and I understand, you know, if we used to have services that would start at 7, and if we were out by 9:30, 10 o'clock, it was a miracle, and whatever, even later than that. And on Sunday night, and I got it, and we have all day, hallelujah. But, you know, first the body is lining up, is saying, Lord, I want that. Because as Paul wrote to Romans, nobody lives to themselves, and nobody does what? Dies alone. And he talked about as the whole body in Ephesians, joined together, compacted by which every joint, it doesn't say, and that's what a lot of people say, you know, well, I get mine straight from my head. Does your head give your hands all the strength they need? No, it comes from building up your muscles, working together with other folks. You say, well, I can go off and be strong all by myself. Me and the Lone Ranger. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. You can't do it. It's the body. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Last slide, Isaiah says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him by not doing your own ways and finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. I will cause you to ride on high places. You know, I know, I understand people, you know, things happen, people can't come, and I get it, and I recognize, you know, life happens and people are busy and more and more. But I want to tell you something. There's a trick of the enemy to get us so busy that we disconnect from the body. And you say, well, I don't need it all that much. Okay, God bless you. According to the word, so much the more. I need the body. Amen? I need the church. So let's stand. I know it's 8:05. We've got David Guy and Caitlin, and have a piece of cake. Even if you take it home with you, it's out my right. Go by and greet David and Caitlin and encourage them. I you say, well, Pastor, I realize and I trying to check with David. He's new to this culture and he's new to here. And I see Sister Connie here, and I know came here from Malaysia and came and embraced this, you know, American, became an American citizen. And you know, what can make it work is the body of Christ, feeling a part of the body. You say, well, I can join the Kiwanis, or I can join the, you know, Girl Scouts. Well, being a part of something is important. Lord, I told this family that was here last night, you know, I know as a family, you want to have a family get together and you want to have a cookout, and I get it, all of that. Family is important, but you need something eternal. Amen. You need something eternal in your, an eternal purpose. Can't just be about me and my family. It's got to also be about, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God together. And so, hallelujah. That's, I know y'all are here Wednesday night. I'm preaching to the choir, but God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I pray you will strengthen us. I pray you will keep us in your will. I pray you will give us just a feeling of the importance of being a part of the body. I pray that we will share that with people we meet. Who knows what tomorrow may hold? But God, what a privilege it is to be part of a people. Oh, that are not perfect. No, they've got mistakes. I've got mistakes. I've got faults. I've got failures. But God, you are able to strengthen us. And I pray you will bless us. Bless each one that's here tonight. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless Brother David and Sister Caitlin and Isla. I pray you will bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with someone.